1.5 billion to like assets, but spend money, a lot of that didn't happen. Governor won't accomplish a bunch of things working in office. I don't see Republicans jumping into it to help him do that. So it could be a quiet end of the session where they focus on energy and accomplishments.
Yeah, some issues that we've heard kind of around.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church of Waupun, the Church of the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we are really glad that you are with us today, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. I am kind of surprised to see as many people here in person as there are, which is a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong, but I was with my family last night for dinner, and they were talking about, do we go to church? Do we not go to church? And I'm like, I wish I had that option, but no, well, when you work, you just go to work. That's what you do. So we are delighted to have Naomi Enders here from Daychola Center and the United Church Camps Incorporated to talk about camp, and you know that it is a very special place to my own heart and my own ministry. I do a lot of work over there with being a musician for various retreats, as well as Becky and I take our confirmation students over there. And Naomi is giving us a little bit of a little bit more information about what camp has to offer for not only families with children, but also all sorts of ages. And Naomi will say a lot more about that, and is probably a lot more qualified than me to say a lot of that. So she's fantastic, and we're just so excited that she's with us. But I want to give her her due. So before we get to that, any other announcements that need to be shared this morning? Very well, Becky, Naomi.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for giving me a few minutes of your time here. As Jacob said, my name is Naomi Enders, and I'm the assistant director of the Daychola Center. And I would like to invite you to a place that is very close to my heart. We have a short video here that we can play for you to give you a little glimpse of what camp can look like.
The Daychola Center is located on the southeast shore of beautiful Green Lake, Wisconsin, the ancestral homeland of the Ho-Chunk people and sacred ground for generations. The Daychola Center strives to be a welcome and inclusive place for all. We invite you to join us and enjoy hotel and dorm style lodging, glamping cabins, or well-appointed cottage in all of our four seasons. In the summer season, we invite you to return to sacred ground and join us at the Daychola Center.
So, as Pastor Jacob can tell you, camp is truly a holy place. It's where kids get to step away from the noise and pressure and technology of every day, and they just get to be kids. They just get to play. They form lifelong friendships, grow in confidence, deepen their faith, and create memories that stay with them long after the summer ends. I've had a lot of parents tell me that when they pick their kid up from camp, their child is unrecognizable in the best way possible. Kids who were once more shy or withdrawn come home more confident, social, joyful. And I get to see this transformation every single week. Kids arrive at camp quiet and shy, and by the end, they are laughing and running, and there are always tears when people have to go home. And that kind of transformation, I found, is so powerful. It's entirely sacred. At De Chola, we are very intentional about making sure that every child knows that they belong. No matter their background, their abilities, or what they may carry with them, camp is a place where they are safe to be themselves, and we celebrate them exactly as they are. We invest very heavily in training our staff to be inclusive, compassionate, and responsive to each child's individual needs. We truly believe that belonging is essential to growth. Our days at camp are filled with all sorts of activities. We have all of our classic camp activities, arts and crafts, swimming, kayaking, some archery, nature exploration, games, songs, campfires. For our older kids, we also offer sailing on Green Lake. And starting and ending every day, we have a small Vespers service, which is just some prayer and some activities, reading some scripture. We get to explore what it means to be unconditionally loved by God, what it means to care for creation, and what it means to truly belong. We offer a very wide range of summer camps, and I can give you more information on all of these specifically after the service. But we have And Me camps, which are like a Mommy and Me, Daddy and Me, Grandma, Grandpa, any kid with an adult they love can come to camp. For the kids, it's ages 4 through 2nd grade. Get to spend half a week trying everything together at camp. For our 2nd to 4th graders, we have a Tenderfoot camp, which is half the week. It's a perfect experience for young kids to have their first away from home, first at camp experience. For middle school and high school, we have a lot more offerings. We have adventure camps. We have a night camp where you get to stay up till like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. playing glow-in-the-dark night games. That was hard for the counselors, but we love it. So much joy. There is a sail camp where you just learn how to sail, even if you've never gone sailing before. We have Mad Camp, music, art, drama, and dance, which Pastor Jacob can tell you about, and he'll be one of the ones helping lead that. It's all about music and art. You get to play some theater games, improv games. You get to do some dancing. And we have a Comic Con themed camp for our high schoolers and a counselor and training program for any high schoolers who want to learn more leadership skills. If they're interested in being a camp counselor or not, it's still a wonderful opportunity to grow as a leader and as a role model. And camp isn't just for the kids. We have a family camp where you can come as a whole family to spend half a week at camp together. And this year we're offering Camp Rewind, which is a 21 and up summer camp where adults get to rediscover their inner child. You get to do all sorts of classic summer camp activities, but also some more activities that are maybe more of interest to adults. But regardless of what camp you choose, at its heart, De Chola Center Summer Camp is about community, faith, and transformation. It's about creating a space where people encounter God through nature, through relationships, and through joy. If you're looking for a place to send your child or your family where you can all grow, belong, and experience God's love in a tangible way, I invite you to consider the De Chola Center this summer. We would be so honored to welcome you. Thank you.
And she was talking about lifelong friendships. In my case, you might just meet your fiance when you come to camp. So it's a beautiful thing, and I am just so thrilled. I just want to say that we are one of the only. We are one of the only states left that has a working summer camp that is associated with a denomination. Most of the other conferences, at least in the United Church of Christ, but even in Methodist and Presbyterian circles, most of their camps have had to close, and ours still is going, in some ways thriving, and in some ways wants to continue to grow and thrive and evolve as needs of the communities have shifted. We have a real gem in the Wisconsin Conference UCC and in just the state of Wisconsin in general that many people don't realize that we have. So I just want to highlight that. So thank you, Naomi, and she'll be around after worship to answer a few questions. And I was on staff a long time ago as well, so I'll try my best. But Naomi is also your guru of all things current camp staff. So that's what we have today. Any other announcements for the good of the order? Then Jane?
Where do you think God's dwelling place is? The psalmist speaks of longing to be in God's house. Indeed, being in what feels like a sacred place can transform and inspire us. Instead of thinking that finding God requires us to go to a designated place like our church, what if we created spaces that reminded us of the sacred wherever we are? Our worship series this season is designed to help us see our ordinary surroundings as sacred containers for spiritual connection. This week, you're invited to create an altar in your home that can remind you that God dwells in all places. Please stand for the call to worship. Where do you experience the holy? There are so many places. We find the holy in our church, in the faces and stories of the people who join us for worship this day. Some of us experience it in the natural world, in the sounds of the earth moving, the crispness of the air, or the beauty of the sky. What if we made our homes and our hearts intentional sanctuaries for holy encounters? May we be empowered to do so today. Join me in the opening prayer. Abiding God, we give thanks for your steadfast presence in all places. Open our hearts to the light of possibilities, even when the day ahead holds difficulties. Be with us, near us, beside us. Amen. The opening hymn is number 245, We Have Come at Christ's Own Bidding.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Are there any children with us today? Come on up. Do you want to come up, Kendallin? Come on up. We have a guest with us today. We have Kendallin joining us. All right.
Morning, everybody.
We got another little guest here.
Good to see y'all.
Trey and Torin, what's your cousin's name?
Eli.
Eli. All right. So we got Kendallin. She's a guest with us today. And we got Eli, and then we got the whole gang here.
Woo-hoo.
Jasper, and Trey, and Torin, and Blake, and Ashlyn. Holy man. I was scared. Wonder. I was going to forget a name. Oh, today. So today I thought the theme should be bringing along or meeting God at camp. Either bringing God to camp or meeting God at camp. Whatever the case. So my question is, do you guys ever go camping? Anybody? You ever
I
go
do.
Camp? Oh, look at all these campers in the group. Did you ever bring God along? Did you bring God along with you? You do. Oh, look at the hands go up. That's awesome. That's awesome. When I was growing up, we did a lot of camping too. And I have to share with you. We got to the campground, you know, and you go to the ranger station and you register and all that kind of stuff. And then the first question out of my mom's mouth was, and where is the nearest Catholic church? Oh, can you imagine that? And as a teenager, and even probably upper elementary, I would roll my eyes and I'd say, oh my gosh, really, Mom? Can't we ever miss church? And of course, what do you think she said? Do you think she let us miss church ever?
No.
You know it. We didn't miss church. That was so important. She'd say no. We always include Jesus on our camping trips. She was convinced that that's why we never had really too many road troubles. We rarely got lost. You know, she thought that's because God was with us. Oh, and I can't forget we had to pray the rosary every time we were on the road. Yes, that's a really long prayer, by the way. Yeah, that's another day. She truly believed that bringing God along kept us all safe. And we made a lot of new friends. And so that brings me to our guest today. We have Naomi. She was up in front talking. Do you remember Naomi here? She was standing up there telling us all about Camp Techola. Yep, they all remember. That's good. She's going to share some information about our camp opportunities that are only like, 30 minutes down the road, too.
Yeah.
They're not very far from here. So today, let's always remember to bring Jesus along, whether we go camping with our families, whether we go to a camp like Techola, any kind of camping we do, we need to bring Jesus along. So Jacob, would you please lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. And I hear a rumor that you all are playing games in a little while. So I'm a little jealous. I have to give a sermon and yammer on forever. You guys get to play games. Isn't that great? I think you guys are having a little bit more fun. All right. I will say a short phrase and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for all the ways,
we find God
at camp,
with our friends,
with our families,
and wherever we go.
Help us
share your love
in everything we do.
And everywhere we go.
Amen. All right, have some fun.
Our scripture today is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold your shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Here in the readings for today, may God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Be in our heads and in our thinking, be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. So as we continue in our sermon series of spiritual affective disorder, we consider the forms of resilience that we have to be able to connect with God outside of the church. Today I'm going to talk a lot about places and spaces that we can find God in both of those areas, in the church and outside the church. And connect that back to Psalm 84. So my sermon title today is, Has God Left the Building? Kind of provocative, but as I think about it, when I ask most of you where you find God, probably most of you would probably say, I find God in the church. I find God in the community that we have at church, right? And that is not a bad answer. That's actually a very good answer because it speaks to the strength of the community that we have here. We care for one another. We always we always do our best to do what's right for one another in difficult times. And that's a lot of what Psalm 84 is saying. Psalm 84 is known as a song for travelers on their way to worship in Jerusalem. People would sing it on their way as they made the long journey to God's temple. Those trips weren't easy. They often meant walking through dry, rough lands and facing many challenges before finally reaching the holy city. But once they did, they were deeply rewarded. Eugene Peterson, the author of The Message, which is a Bible paraphrase, summarizes verses 10 and 11 like this. One day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats thousands spent on Greek island beaches. I'd rather scrub the floors in the house of my God than be honored as a guest in the palace of sin. And I think many of us feel kind of the same way, which is why people think of church as a sacred place, And I know that I personally have gotten a lot out of singing the old hymns and offering musical gifts from the gorgeous Steinway grand piano at my home church in Neenah. But and yet that assumption was tested just a few short years ago when we couldn't gather in church together and stay healthy. And Marcia McPhee, the writer of our sermon series, asks kind of an uncomfortable question. If God is so limited that God can only be found in a single place in the entire cosmos that God created, well, how powerful can God be? So I'm going to talk about places that we can find God outside of the church, because the truth is that at times the places in our homes can be where we connect the most with the sacred. Even these are forms of resilience that can help prepare us for justice work. So I'm going to share an artifact of my own from my house. This desk, this is my piano desk. This desk was made for me by my dad out of my grandma's 102-year-old piano. It was 102 years old when she died. And it was going to cost more money to move it out of her house and sell, and you know, do it for parts than the piano was worth, because the soundboard was cracked, and anyone who knows pianos know that if you if the soundboard is cracked, it won't hold a tune, and it's pretty much, you know, it doesn't have much worth at that point. But my dad made a desk out of this piano because this was a very special piano to me, because it's the first real piano I ever played, because my grandma Nalt lived about 5 minutes from my parents' house. So this is a picture Mom and Dad took of it when it was first built and presented to me. This was a total surprise, except for one little piece of it. So it's hard to see from the picture here, but there is a sheet of glass over the keys. And if you look really closely, a few of the key, the black keys, are slightly elevated to hold that piece of glass in place. Dad had to tell me about this this project before it was finished for one simple reason. He had the choice of closing off the glass or keeping it open so that I could touch the keys. I told him I wanted to touch the keys, and so he kept it open so I can, the action doesn't work, the keys don't move, it doesn't make any sound, but I can touch the keys of the piano that I first played. It holds a whole lot of, it holds my computer and speakers and a lot of high quality audio equipment that makes my recording studio run, the home recording studio at my house here in Waupun. Wherever Rafi, my fiance, and I go, wherever we live, that desk will follow us. And it is a behemoth of a thing. Even with the soundboard, the cast iron soundboard out, it is a thing. So it'll take several people to move it. And Dad knows this because when Dad and a friend of ours moved it out of my parents' basement to put it on the moving truck to go to Waupun, Dad actually scuffed the brand new staircase that he had just put in going to the basement because of how heavy the thing was, and he did make it so that this could come apart. So when I move somewhere else, where you know, wherever that happens to be, the keys can come apart. The several other pieces of the desk can come apart, so that it's a little bit easier to move, but it's still very difficult to move. And when I see this, when I look at this desk, I think of my grandma. I think of the joy that she had for that piano and the people who played it. And I also think of my dad, who put all sorts of hours into it. And having a recording studio in my house has become more than just a cost-saving measure, because I have so many musical ideas that it would take, it would be cost prohibitive to go into a commercial studio every time I had something. Having a studio in my house allows me to experience holy moments of musical inspiration and find the presence of God in the midst of it all. And some of what I've recorded in that studio and mixed at that piano desk has come out of moments that truly felt vulnerable and sacred. So I wonder what that looks like for you. As we reflect together today, we're reminded that in this season, we're learning to take the simple and ordinary moments of life and use them with intention. When we do this, we find that even the gray, cold days of winter can give way to a renewed sense of gratitude and well-being. This week, I invite you to turn your attention to your home, your dwelling place. Consider how you might nurture a greater sense of peace and joy within its walls. Maybe you will carve out a small sacred space, like an altar or a quiet corner where you can more easily become aware of God's presence. Maybe it's finally cleaning out that cluttered closet or dusty corner that weighs on your spirit. Perhaps a small rearrangement of furniture can bring life to a familiar room. Or maybe it's as simple as placing flowers in a vase, a gentle reminder to delight in the gift of your home and to give thanks. And in these small intentional acts, we create space for God to meet us right where we are. And as your pastor, I've been honored to visit some of your homes and see some of the sacred spaces and items of your own. Rick Van Hoff's nature photography on the walls. Jeff Dukoch's shed, where projects are built and company is entertained. The Manchester's Christmas decorations. Terry Meyer's bike. Gene McKim's kitchen. So, has God left the building? No. God was never confined to it in the first place. Sure, the building matters, community matters, all of these things matter. But the same God we worship here goes home with us, sits at our kitchen tables, and meets us in the places where our lives actually unfold. When our homes become places where we are grounded in God's presence, we're better able to face the hard work of justice, whether that's speaking up for a neighbor, caring for somebody who's hurting, or refusing to let cynicism have the last word. Whatever it is for you, I invite you to go into this week to think about that place and how you might understand it as a reflection of God's grace and presence in your own life, as we take in all of the news of the last weeks with what's going on in our communities, in our country and in our world. We can find solace in the sacred moments and places we hold dear. And in these cold, difficult days, may you find the warmth of God's love in your special places. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is Sweet, Sweet Spirit. This is number 134. Be seated. Now comes the time for more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that are on our hearts today. Let's take a few moments of silence for all of those things, and then we'll share joys and concerns as you have them. I have a few prayer requests this morning that were given to me. First is for my cousin Alyssa Zimmerman. She watches regularly on Zoom. She has ankle fusion surgery this coming Thursday, she is hoping that that goes well. There's a 50-50 chance that it will fail. And because she has a lot of dead bone in that area, if it does fail, she will have to have her lower leg amputated if it does fail. So pray for a successful surgery for Alyssa and for her medical team. God in your mercy. And of course, for the Amberg family, for Carla and all of those who loved Daryl and grieve his loss. God, in your mercy. Also, we ask for prayers for Paul and Laura Reynolds. Paul was admitted to the hospital on Wednesday, thank you, and he will be going to rehab at the Christian home sometime tomorrow. So for Paul and Laura, God in your mercy. Are there others?
Everyone knows Ted Woyan. Well, Ted's doing okay, a few little ins and outs, but this week their son Steve will be having surgery, quite a drastic surgery, so keep Steve in their thoughts and prayers. And I know a lot of people here remember Steve as a youngster, and Of course, Ted hasn't been making it to services recently because of difficult things like this.
Yeah. Thank you, Wayne. for Steve and for Ted. God, on your mercy. Anything else?
Shirley Williams asks prayers for her friend Deb, who passed away on Friday afternoon. She's asking for prayers for Deb's family.
Thank you, Chris. For Deb and for Shirley and all of those who knew and loved Deb. God, in your mercy. I also have a statement this morning from our general minister and president of the denomination, Reverend Dr. Karen Georgia Thompson, who serves as sort of the CEO of the United Church of Christ, if you want to think of it in a business sort of way. I'm going to read part of her statement, it's quite long, so if you want to find it other places, you can do so. The United Church of Christ joins the faith community in strongly condemning the ongoing actions of Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE, as it continues to bring death and violence to the streets of Minneapolis. The use of lethal force on unarmed and non-threatening individuals continues to result of loss of life and injury. The abduction of people on the streets in major cities, the profiling of individuals, the targeting of immigrants, and the escalation of deportations are violating the human rights of millions. Added to the increased militarization of cities, communities that house some of the most vulnerable now find themselves under siege. It is time to stop the murdering. It is time to stop the violence. It is time to return peace to our nation's cities. The deployment of masked agents in this nation's cities has escalated fear, anxiety, and tension in communities where immigrants and people of color continue to be profiled and targeted to be stopped, detained, and arrested. As people of faith, we call for the removal of ICE from Minneapolis and other cities, and for the removal of the National Guard. We call for truth-telling and accountability in these two deaths, seeking justice for the lives lost and for those whose lives are disrupted by the actions of ICE. For peace in our cities and in our country, God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Then let us be in prayer together. God, in your grace and love, we give you thanks for the ways that you invite us to be together in community and for the joy that is present when we do so. We also are mindful of the places outside of this church that are sacred for so many of us. We give you thanks for those places and spaces that people have used to find you. Especially for the places like camp, where many, many people have found deep meaning and spirituality. We ask you to be with all of those whose names we have listed for so many reasons, in times of joy and in times of despair, and in times of grief. We ask your presence to follow all of them wherever they may go as they grieve and remember those with love. We also ask you to be with all of those who don't have a safe place to live in these frigid temperatures, those who don't have enough to eat, those who are discriminated against for things that they cannot control. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who shows us the way all the time, in every day of our lives, and teaches us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you'd like to give a gift today, you may do so by placing a gift in the offering plate. You may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you do so remembering that your gift will benefit not only this local church, but the church universal. This morning's offering will now be received. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, thank you for these gifts. Help us leave this place to bring more light into a hurting world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 358, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. My friends, receive these words of benediction. Now go into the world, feeling the wrap of love around your shoulders, the embrace of well-being encompassing your heart, the confidence that only requires one foot in front of the other, and the assurance that you are not alone. The world needs you and will patiently wait for your light to shine, illuminating just one small corner, speaking even just a little bit of hope. We're in it together, along with the one who created us, the one who redeems us, the one who sustains us. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.